Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Washington, what a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Scheduled to join us shortly is Von Miller from your Washington Commanders. So hopefully he will call us soon. Maybe he's experiencing some of the same jet lag that John Keim is dealing with coming back from Madrid.
Hey, this
trying
is
to get his body clock right.
Hey, if we get him on, for some reason this popped into my head, and we can do a pre-bet. You know, sometimes we'll bet on athletes.
Yeah.
What do you think Von Miller's go-to McDonald's meal is? Now, Cakes, you're go-to meal.
He's gonna
is
tell you he's like a health, like his, a health conscious.
No, but
man.
If he has a go-to, everybody's got a go-to McDonald's meal.
I'm gonna
meal.
Guess.
Cakes is the happy meal. Mine's a quarter pounder with cheese meal.
Now I'm gonna guess, because he's so discerning with his chicken, that he wouldn't go with like a chicken McNuggets. Like, that's not gonna be his go-to. So that's a good question.
Oh no, mine. I'm gonna predict he's gonna go Big Mac side of nuggets.
That's a great call.
With fries and
I mean, I just would have no idea.
What's your go-to McDonald's meal? You don't have a go-to McDonald's meal?
I like them so much. I have quite a few. I like Filet-O-Fish, and I get the two cheeseburgers.
I've got it. He's gonna be a McDoubles guy. He'll get like two McDoubles, fries, and a drink.
Got to be something big.
That's going to be my go-to. All right, let's go to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products. In the DMV, we welcome in Von Miller from your Washington Commanders. Good morning, Von. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Hey, so, man. Von, before we start talking football, we just got into the side conversation about go-to McDonald's meals. Cakes is like a Happy Meal guy, and he does some weird bit. What is your go-to McDonald's meal?
You know me, I'm a pasture-raised chicken guy.
Well, I know that, but if you go to Mickey D's...
If you did a drive-thru, I mean, do you ever hit drive-thrus?
Man, I haven't went to McDonald's in, I don't know, years.
His he's got to take care of his body,
that.
Man.
I nailed that. I knew it.
Okay, take us back to when you were in College Station.
When you were still Busto.
You know that, I forgot whenever it was like a Super Size Me documentary.
Yes.
Or something.
Yeah. Yes. Out. Yes.
And that, I think that came out when I was in high school.
Yeah. Okay. That turned you off?
Kinda, Yeah, that kind of did it for me.
Scared you. Turned out the guy was making it all up.
Yeah, it turned out the guy was a big liar.
He's also dead now, which kind of stinks.
Yeah.
So it wasn't true? It wasn't true?
He exaggerated a lot of the stuff. Yeah, it turned out to be a big debacle.
Okay, well, it worked on me.
I haven't had
McDonald's in years. You know, I'm a Green and Pastures chicken guy, though.
Right. All right, so let's. I want to talk about the coming back from that game, disappointing loss. Obviously, what's been sort of the mood of the guys? You get another sack. By the way, I'm betting you're going to lead the team in sacks, even though you're going to play on average probably a third of the snaps.
I mean, that's cool. I guess you know I'm a 3-point shooter. So
yeah.
Whenever I get in there, I gotta shoot the three.
right. You're gonna do that. I know that. I'm convinced of it. But what was the sort of the mood of the guys? Because it's gone. I could tell from the coach, at least from this is my perspective. Like, who knows? He's probably kicking doors and screaming and everything. But it looks like he went from being super pissed off to almost a little resignation in the last week or two. Just the frustration. You can only be so pissed off for so long. What's been the mood of the guys?
Man, that's something that I never had to question, with the guys. You know, everybody show up each and every day trying to do their best. That we want to win. You know, the outcome of the game hasn't been going our way, but, you don't have to question the guys in the locker room or the coaching staff for sure. You know, they prepare us. They have us ready to go mentally, physically, emotionally. The players in there, we do everything we can to go out there and win. It's just not going our way. In Madrid last week, we had an amazing week. Sometimes weeks like that can do wonders for teams, and I think it did. Even though we didn't get the win, like, we were able to bond and get to know each other a little bit more. I think everybody's a little bit closer after that week.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go to Real Madrid's practice facility and play at Santiago Bernabeu Stadium, iconic stadium around the world. You know, everything was great. Even in the game we played, we had some great defensive stops.
Right.
Had some great defensive individual efforts. You know, Javon Kinlaw, he had an amazing game. Sometimes, those guys on the inside don't get highlighted.
Right.
But Javon Kinlaw, Eddie Goldman, those guys had amazing games. Defense had some amazing stops. I was able to scratch out and get a sack. I don't remember the last time I ran that fast. But, I was able to get a sack and, just the outcome of the game just didn't go our way. But everything up until then was perfect for sure.
Yvonne, we saw the Bobby Wagner quotes about him basically saying, look, I don't really care about sightseeing in the city. We're going there to try to win a football game. But it sounds like your perspective is more like, there was a lot of camaraderie, team building, bonding on the trip. Like, were you able to take in some of the sights in Madrid, or was it basically like you're saying, like training at the Real Madrid facility, team building type of stuff? It sounds like you were able to enjoy the trip.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see not one sight either. I didn't see not one sight, but I did. Hang out with my teammates. We went to a couple of restaurants, and that was just about it. I mean, I didn't. Have time to sightsee. I don't even know what sights to go see out there. But the sight for me to see was, I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan of La Liga and the European League or Premier League. But I mean, I know those guys. It's hard to not know who, Ronaldo is or David Beckham or all these iconic guys that have played for Real Madrid. So that was the sight for me to see.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to witness their facilities and to play in, Santiago Bernabeu Stadium.
All right, so the narrative last week heading into the game was, well, Dan Quinn's taken over as defensive coordinator. The week before that, it was Joe Witt is moving from the booth down to the field. What has been the difference in coaching, if any? Did you guys feel it? Did you feel a difference? Because people are saying, well, you played better against the Dolphins. Maybe that's because Dan Quinn's calling the plays.
I'm not trying to, come off as negative or anything like that, but I feel like it was the exact same for me.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I didn't really, with Coach Witt being upstairs, I didn't, see a difference. Him being downstairs, I didn't see a difference. Coach DQ calling the plays. I mean, whatever the call that they give me, I'm trying my best to go out there and do it. I'm not, focused on who's calling the plays, what position they had on the football field. Like, I'm trying to go out there and do my job to the best of my ability. Mm-hmm. And that's where my focus has always been. It's always been from an internal standpoint. What am I doing to contribute to wins or contribute to these losses? Like, I'm not looking out to see, like, maybe this guy should do this better, or maybe it always comes internally for me. And I think of our whole team is like that. So I think that's where that came from DQ. You know, maybe he was like, what can I do to you know, help this team win? Maybe it's coming from an internal standpoint for him. But for me, it's always been, what can I do to make the team better? And on that sack that I got, you know, I watched it probably 100 times. If I would have came over with my left a little bit, you know, harder and kind of tomahawk, because Tua's left-handed, mm-hmm. and kind of, because Tua didn't see me coming at all. If I was able to just knock that ball out, I had Frankie Luvu running. You know, he was telling me, and maybe, you know, they don't get a chance to get that punt off, you know. Mm-hmm. And maybe we get the ball right there on that 30-yard line. And that, so I'm always looking at ways that I could contribute more, what I can do. It always comes from an introspective or internal perspective for me.
I have two questions that kind of pop into my mind regarding all that. First of all, when you go to the sideline, right, like, let's say the offense has the ball, are you one of those guys that's, like, in the iPad looking at what you just saw, or are you just talking to your players and your coaches, or just going through it in your mind? What is your process, let's say, when the offense is on the field?
Well, you know, I've been playing football a long time, and this is what I love. This is what I love to do. Mm-hmm. I love football. I love every aspect of football.
Right.
From, you know, the weight room guys to the training room guys. Like, when the offense is out there, I'm watching the offense. But when I get the iPad too, that's the first thing that I do. I look at all the plays that I had, and then I do a little bit of everything. Like, I talk to all the guys. If it's something that I did wrong, you know, I talk to the guys about what I did. If it's something that mm-hmm. a mistake that was made by somebody else, you know, I know for a fact that they're trying to win the game. So I never go over to guys and be like, hey, we got to do this to do that. Like, I know for a fact that they're trying to do the right thing. I just try to go from a mental standpoint, like, hey, what happened? Like, what were we thinking on this play? And I talked to my teammates and my guys that was on defense the previous series. Then I'm watching the offense too. Like, I'm a fan of these guys. Like, we got Marcus Mariota out there. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a fan of Marcus, and I'm a fan of Josh Connolly and, mm-hmm. and Laramie Tunsil and all of these guys. So I see it from a defensive perspective. So I'm watching the offensive line. I'm watching the pass rushers out there. You know, Chop Robinson and Bradley Chubb, those are my guys too. So I'm watching those guys rush. And mm-hmm. yeah, so I'm watching the game, and I'm on the iPad. I'm doing a little bit of everything.
Are you such a guy? I know you said on your pod that, you know, you've already kind of decided that, you know, you want to play next year. And hopefully here, but, you know, you definitely feel like you can do this another year. Are you a guy that will eventually settle into coaching because you love the game so much?
No, I mean, you know, these guys are crazy, man.
The hours.
You know, these guys are crazy, man. They don't listen either, man. I could be telling the guy the same thing the whole season. He don't do it. And, you know, they'll probably get, you know, it's both fired, but he's gonna be before me though. I'm a front office guy. I feel like you know, team infrastructure is my thing. Player evaluation is my thing. I think you know, all football players that have been playing, you know, this long have some type of talent evaluator in them. We've been playing football for so long, but for me, it's been something that I've been paying attention to and trying to posture, you know, myself into some role in the front office. You know, obviously I'm not going to just jump right into being a GM, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to jump right into being a contract guy either. You know, so it's got to be a unique spot for me to be in the front office and just kind of work my way through it to, you know, a place where I could, you know, make some great decisions on get some high quality guys into the organization.
Talking to Von Miller from the Washington Commanders, he's got 5 sacks on the season. Just going around the NFL with you, because you love watching the league. Have you ever been spat on, and what would you do? Jamar Chase, of course, suspended for spitting on Jalen Ramsey.
How many games did he get suspended?
One.
One game?
Yeah.
Do you think that's light? That's kind of light for spitting on a guy, I think.
I mean, if you look at it, like, spitting is kind of like throwing a punch, I would say. Like, I think the NFL looks at it like that. But I've never seen so many guys spit on people like this. This is ridiculous. 2025 is ridiculous. I've never seen so many people spit at somebody or get spit on.
Right.
And it's crazy. And if you think about it, that's probably the most, when you get into it with somebody on the football field, that's probably the most disrespectful thing that you can do to that guy. You know, he's got a helmet on, and I don't think, you know.
What if he said something about his wife?
I don't think your mama jokes or a wife jokes really hit that hard, you know. And if you throw a punch, you're hitting a face mask, you
right.
know. So I think, you know, guys, when they get in that mode, like, they just, you know, I don't even talk to guys out there, so I never get into that space. So this is just speculation for me. I really don't know where that comes from. But maybe it is the most disrespectful thing that you can do. And I guess when they get into it with guys and they get agitated with the other person, like, they think about, you know, being as disrespectful as they possibly can.
At this stage in your career, do guys poke at you and try to get you to lose your composure? Or does that typically not happen at this stage in your career?
Never in my career, my 15-year career, have I had any type of... It was one tight end from Indy that I, like, ended the game, and he was, like, pushing me a little bit extra.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, stopped, and, like, we was face-to-face, and I was telling him, like, hey, man. Like, I forgot what I was telling him. But Aqib Talib came over my shoulder and, like, poked him in the eye. Like, that was the
that
only...
That sounds like an Aqib Talib move.
Yeah, Aqib Talib came over my shoulder and, like, poked him in the eye and was, like, back up, you don't know. Don't talk to Von like that. I forgot whatever the
right.
Who was it? Dallas Clark? Who was it?
No, that was I forgot who the tight end was. Number 83 for he works for NFLPA now, but you know, he's hilarious. A great dude.
Just is he wearing an eye patch? Is his eye okay?
No, actually, you know, Aqib really didn't try to poke him in the eye. He was trying to, like, poke him in the middle of the forehead. You know how guys like, but you
that's
know,
pretty disrespectful too. Now spitting is the one seed, but, like, poking somebody with your
yeah,
index
like in
finger,
the chest or shoulder,
is pretty disrespectful too.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, I had a pacifier mouthpiece in, and I'm not a big talker, and I think guys kind of, like, feel that aura, that energy from me. Like, I'm already trying to, like,
mm-hmm.
take. I'm already trying to get as many sacks as possible. I don't think they try to motivate me out there.
Right.
I wanted to ask you, so Josh Allen had your former teammate Josh Allen had a 6-touchdown game this week, 3 passing touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns. I think he tied the NFL record with 75 rushing touchdowns as a quarterback. I'm guessing you're not surprised at all by this.
No, definitely not surprised at all. I always pay attention to the Buffalo Bills and the Denver Broncos and the Los Angeles Rams, and you know, all three of those teams are doing well, and you know, I got love for all three of those organizations. They showed me love and changed my football trajectory, all three of those organizations. So I definitely pay attention to those guys. Definitely pay attention to Josh. I still, you know, talk to, you know, Brandon Bean, you know, shoot him a message here and there, and talk to Josh and send him a message here and there. So definitely not surprised. And I would say, you know, Josh definitely is satisfied with that. I know he would look at that film and say he should have had 7 or 8 touchdowns. So, you know,
well, he did throw an awful interception. He did throw an awful interception where he tried, like, a two-handed, like, shovel pass for 10 yards that got picked off.
Yeah, so I'm sure, you know, he'll look at that film and say it was things that he could have did better. But 6 touchdowns is amazing. And they got a squad over there. James Cook is having an amazing year, too. Defense is having an amazing year. Bills Mafia, you know, shout out to Bills Mafia.
Hey, Von, enjoy the bye week and get rested up, and we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
All right, guys. I appreciate y'all.
All right. Thank
That's
you, buddy.
Von Miller from your Washington Commanders.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fam. You're watching us live on Monumental Sports Network or streaming on the YouTube page. And I want to open these phone lines up because it's a bye week. We're zooming out from the Commanders a little bit, looking at the entire NFL picture, right? Yeah. So if you look at it, Pittsburgh right now leading the AFC North, 6-4, might be an Aaron Rodgers injury. Teams that people were really high on earlier in the year, Tampa, 12th in the power ranks. But then what I think is fascinating, the Ravens are 13th. Ravens almost gave one away in Cleveland, but didn't. Mm-hmm. Might have helped them that Dylan Gabriel got hurt and that Shador had to come in. I'm not saying Shador can't play, but it's really difficult for a rookie who's never played in the NFL to have to then come in the second half of a game against the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a difficult prospect. Maybe Shador will show up better this week with a full week of preparation.
Yeah.
Baltimore was 1-5. They're now 5-5. They have two games left against the Steelers. They'll get every opportunity to take that division should they want it.
Yeah.
So you've got Baltimore at 13, Kansas City at 15.
Okay.
Kansas City's 5-5 also. I'm reading now. Hearing Patrick Mahomes almost acknowledge that the AFC West is gone was downright shocking. Yeah, he's speaking reality, and of course Kansas City could make the playoffs as a dangerous wildcard team. But to hear Mahomes all but admit defeat in the Chiefs' quest for a 10th straight division title was jarring. They're 9th in the AFC playoff picture, and they're staring at 4 straight pretty tough games, starting with the Colts at Arrowhead and then Thanksgiving in Dallas 4 days later. We're so used to the Chiefs coming out of the bye week razor sharp, but they never looked completely dialed in against Denver, even after taking the lead early in the fourth quarter. There's still a playoff caliber roster here, but multiple losing streaks in a single season is an identity crisis for Kansas City.
Maybe, but I would say this. If they get into the playoffs, you don't want to play them.
Sure.
I'm just saying. So they have not played their best ball, but still, the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs is going to be the worst person that you want to play.
If you believe it, you could get the Chiefs at plus 500 to win the AFC West.
They may not be able to win the AFC West, but getting into that playoffs as a wild card team, that's going to be scary for a lot of folks.
This is pretty interesting. So they're plus 500 to win the AFC West, and that's just a matter of math. I mean, Denver's plus 4 in the win column on them. And yet, the Chiefs are plus 450 to win the AFC and go to the Super Bowl. The favorites to go to the Super Bowl, plus 375 for the Bills, plus 425 for the Colts, plus 450 for the Chiefs, then the Ravens, then the Broncos. So Vegas still isn't willing to give it away if you want KC to get to the Super Bowl.
No, Vegas is looking at you saying, hey, man, look, this team has too much experience. And if they end up there, it's going to be a problem. Jay Frank.
Doggy. I like it. So here's my question. As it's currently constituted, the Chiefs and the Ravens are outside of the AFC playoff picture.
Mm-hmm.
This is your option. And I want to ask the people on the phones this. 800-636-1067. Looking at the AFC, you can get the Chiefs and the Ravens, both of them. Or you could take everybody else. I'm curious how many people would still take the Chiefs and the Ravens.
I'm going to take everybody else because I just would have the Chiefs. I'm not even counting the Ravens. I'm going to take the Chiefs.
So you would take the Chiefs.
I'll take the Chiefs or everybody else. I'm not even depending. Because Ben really think they're bad. He just texts me. Every time we start talking about anything you mention the Ravens, he texts me, Jay. So I don't believe the Ravens got a damn chance in hell of trying to win no Super Bowl.
Really?
Hell yeah.
Why?
They weren't that good before. They won some games over the last, but they ain't been beating nobody. So I want to see this thing continue on.
They got problems.
Their defense is still not good. They punked the Cleveland Browns.
Barely.
So I'm not buying that crap.
Since they came out of the bye and Lamar came back, they had a big win over the Bears, big win over the Dolphins, and then the Vikings and the Browns were kind of like, hold on to your butt kind of wins.
The Vikings game was, I thought the Vikings should have beat them, but the Vikings just looked like they were lost.
But the Ravens have the easier path to the playoffs, though, by winning that division. Like, it's going to be easier for the Ravens to get in the door, than it is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Ravens have been the number one seed and lost.
Sure.
So, who cares?
So you would take your chances with the Chiefs over still the rest of the AFC?
No, I would take the rest of the AFC at this point.
Who do you like out of the AFC right now? Because it comes down to new guard, old guard.
New guard, you're going to favor them, but I still believe the Chiefs, if they get in, is going to be a problem for somebody.
Totally. Dude,
can you imagine your first playoff game? Let's imagine one of these young quarterbacks, these new teams that are here. You all of a sudden you got the Chiefs in the first game. That's not very young. You have a lot of home game. Ain't gonna be a lot of confidence.
All right, so let's get to the Commanders because it's bad. They just lost to the Dolphins. Commanders are now 26th in the power ranks.
That's higher than I thought.
I don't think you'll be surprised once you know the teams behind them.
But they're still 26, and where they're sitting is higher than I thought.
3-8. A narrow home loss to the Bears in Week 6 has snowballed into a 6-game skid whose future end can't be seen. The Commanders crawled into their Week 12 bye after falling to the Dolphins in Spain, sunk by a punt return fumble, poor red zone execution, and an overtime interception by Marcus Mariota. Dan Quinn's defense came ready to play, but it didn't change the outcome enough in a positive way. And while injuries have really been the story of the season, the backdrop is that the team appeared to be farther away from contention than it might have looked back in August.
Mm.
It'll be fascinating to see how GM Adam Peters approaches this coming offseason because it's harder to gauge where this team will be next year. I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah.
The only teams below Washington, the Giants at 2-9, the Jets at 2-8, the Browns at 2-8, the Saints at 2-8, the Raiders at 2-8, and the Titans at 1-9. And, Doggy, I can't really argue any of that.
You can't. It is what it is, bro. It's just where we're sitting at this point.
All right, I said I'd open these phones. Let's do it. My man Elijah's on the line. Eli, what's up, dude?
What's going on, JP?
What up, brother?
What's going on, B. Mitch, man? Glad y'all back safe, man. Glad y'all cool, man.
Appreciate it, man.
I kind of wanted to talk Commanders, obviously, man. Sticking with what we're talking about, you have to give the nod to the Chiefs consistently over what we're talking about with the Ravens. Anybody can catch a wave. And there's always a team that does catch a wave that maybe wasn't supposed to be there and sneaks in a way, and a team you don't want to see. Sure, they have some things that maybe you wouldn't want to see, you know, with Lamar in the playoffs or moving to the Super Bowl, sure. But come on, we're talking about, you know, the Chiefs consistently, just certain aspects of the game. You've seen they figured out a way to get to a certain point. So, you know, it's just tough to bet against them. Now, me, because I know you're going to cut me loose with these Commanders, we got to stay calm, everybody, because this team can look differently. And that's what I'm banking on. I think if we get five, what he actually needs, you know, barring the injuries. But if they get what they need with these picks, I know it's too early to be talking about a defensive coordinator. But I'm curious to hear what y'all have to say. Do they promote from within? Or do they go out and get a DC, and what does that actually look like? Because a lot of teams are locked in, but with these one-year deals, we can be a different team, but we can look different. And I think if we just get certain points knocked out, we could be right back where we were. So just everybody sit tight and, you know, just stay. I just want us to keep being competitive in this moment and coming out to buy. If they look fiery and just staying competitive, then that's what I'm looking for right now. I think we'd be straight, man.
Well, I think
I think there's going to be real turnover in the coaching staff this offseason. Just because it's pretty standard, and last year they didn't have it.
Like, yeah,
it's standard,
but I would say this, though. A dominant pass rusher or a dominant run stopper can make a D coordinator look smarter. Because they don't have that right now.
I don't think Dan wants to. I think Dan wants to be like the CEO type. And wants a real D coordinator.
I think most owners want the head coach to be that.
Right.
I don't think many head owners want their head coach doing it. Because you know what that head coach does? He goes around and shakes hands and kiss babies. Knowing who he stops from doing that? Them. So I don't think they really want that. They don't want him to have to do that. So, you know.
I think it remains a realistic option that you lose Cliff. Cliff's not getting paid by Arizona anymore this year. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a lot different to turn down interviews and jobs. And I think there will be real turnover on the coaching staff this season. And I would almost expect an external hire, but Dan Quinn's a loyal dude. He doesn't throw guys under the bus. He kind of keeps it fighting. I don't know. We'll see. Let's hit Co from the Foe is on the line. What's up, Co?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
To answer your question, man, I'm going with the Ravens got a better chance because they got a better chance to win out and win their division. Unlike Kansas City. If Kansas City get in, they going to be on the back end 6-7 seed. Probably they going to have to go see Buffalo, and that's going to cancel out one for the Ravens. Got to remember, B-Miss Amar was hurt. He coming back. That's why he lost them games. I'm going with the Ravens. And on the side note, I want to piggyback on us. Hey, what's our schedule like this week, man, that we're on the bye, man? I got a source that say they seen Deron Payne yesterday on 17th and Ben Rowe at the laundromat. Tell Deron Payne he need to get his butt back to our facilities and around his way. Please.
I don't know that I believe that. I'm just going to.
I got an inside source that he was there signing autographs and everything. So if you can find out, let me know. And let me know if my source is wrong, JP.
But my whole thing is, what's wrong at the laundromat signing autographs?
No, he's washing clothes as well, 17th and Bennett. He needs to get his tail back either in the film room or Northwest Stadium area.
But you don't have to watch film 24/7. You have time to go out and do other stuff. I don't know why people think just because you're not winning, you got to sit in the house all day.
That's not – you don't wash clothes around 17th and Bennett B. Mitch, and that's all I'm going to say, sir.
Hold on. I always appreciate your calls. I do. I think you're a really smart dude. Daron Payne has made approximately $90 million in his career.
That's the
you think
thing
he was
I'm
doing laundry on Betting Road yesterday?
For me, fact check for me. But I didn't see it my own eyes. My source told me. I'm putting it out there. I want you guys to figure it out. If that's true, tell Daron Payne that Cole from the Foe said, get back at the zip code, please.
I'm going to tell you I don't think it's true. I have not fact checked it, Cole, but I don't think he'd be – if you told me he was signing autographs is one thing. I do not think he's doing his laundry at 17th and Bennett.
That's the same thing I'm thinking, fellas. That's the same thing I'm thinking. But pie to the hail to the Commanders, man. We got a long season.
All right, bro.
Jump off the bandwagon.
Take care, dude. Thank you for the call. You always yell at me to open the phones up, B.
Joe, put your feelings out. Jeff, where's Jeff at? Jeff, put your feelings out.
All right, we're going to explore further who's doing laundry on Benning Road next. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
We had Jay Gruden on the show Monday. We asked him about bringing Jaden Daniels back, if he's healthy, to play again this season, with so many fans in town thinking the team should kind of put him in bubble wrap and redshirt him the rest of the way with a lost season and the risk of him getting hurt again going into the offseason. This is what Jay Gruden had to say.
I want to show the world that this guy's back. You know, I'm tired of the narrative that he's too little, he's going to get injured all the time. I want to have a great last two games of the season. I want to win both games and put the NFC East on a warning track for the Washington Commanders come next year when he's fully healthy for 17 games. I just hate the fact that people are saying, I told you he was going to be hurt all the time because of his frame and his running style. No, get him in there, let him play, let him win some games, and show the world that he's a Jaden Daniels we all know.
So I agree that he should absolutely play if he's healthy. I guess the reasons that I think he should play maybe are different than what Jay just said.
Yep.
Because I'm not really in the message-sending business necessarily to the rest of the division. And he says, let the East know that you are who everyone thought you were coming into the year. I think that'd be nice, but I don't really care that much about that. They'll find out in September. And I got $90 million to spend. I'm going to bring in some good players here. It's going to be a different group next year. I don't really believe in momentum carrying over year to year as a program per se. But I do think it is really important that he gets out there and plays well. Not to send a message to the Giants, the Eagles, and the Cowboys, or to let the East know the wire style, we're back up. Stringer Bell style.
Mm-hmm.
But my logic on that, Danny, is you need him to play well and you need to get going for your own knowledge and information and intel, for Cliff and for the design and for the guys under him, like Brian Johnson and David Blau and these other guys, to trying to figure out, what do we do well? What do we not do well? What is Jaden doing at a high level? What's he struggling with? What's he capable of? How are we processing this and that as an offense? If you get him back and he's playing at a level like last year, I just think it changes a lot of things going into the offseason, as opposed to if he were to come back and the entire sample in three different stints, basically, A, then it before the injury, after the first injury, B, then another injury, then C, after the second injury. If it's the same in all three of those, it does create some questions, I guess, about the way you see in the field, some of the Kurt Warner stuff or whatever. So, yes, he should play. Yes, you need him to play well, but I don't care that much about sending a message to the rest of the division. You're on notice because we're coming.
Yeah, I look forward to Jay every week. I think he's awesome and just a terrific guest. I don't care about that point of it at all. I'm not trying to be dismissive or disrespectful. He comes at it from a coach's perspective, where you got to see these guys a couple times and you want any advantage you can. Me, Pudgy Zilch, watching games as a fan, I don't care about messages. I don't care about narratives. I care about good football play. So my counter to that, though, just to play his game, is we got to have him healthy for 2 weeks. What if he's not? What if you play for one quarter and you get another thing, another hammy, another knee, another twist, another hit, another thing? Because you can't. This is not the year where he protects himself, because he hasn't learned, or a defender who gets paid to play two runs free and slams him to the turf or whatever. Then what points have you proven? Isn't it worse? I don't care about the narrative. I care about his development. Those narratives and those things on the shouty shows that change every week on this week-to-week lead, they'll take care of themselves. We'll be just fine. If he's good, that's all that matters.
Yes, you're right. I could just end the sentence there. But to add to it, I would say it is kind of nice to shut people up every now and then, especially when there is this noise growing that you feel like
here's where we'll differ.
I
hear that. I don't think him playing well or being healthy for 3 weeks changes anything. Three separate injuries this year. It was the not coming out of school. He had a broken rib last year that affected his play, and three different injuries this year that kept him out for any meaningful games.
Oh, the damage is done. That's fair.
There's no injury can you believe he was healthy for 4 weeks? Like, if that's our standard, okay.
No, the damage is done. Because, I was going to say, people who are worried about his durability, and I guess theoretically I'm one of those people now.
I'm one of them.
If you are of that belief that you're not sure if he could stay on the field and be durable, him finishing even five games, let's say, at the end of the year without getting hurt, doesn't change that. We're still going to be saying this offseason that he got hurt multiple times, that he's been hurt three times in his career already. So you should be able to play five straight games. I guess that's true. You're not really changing that perception necessarily. But I do believe in, as I said, I don't believe in program momentum. I don't believe in the idea of, if you win your last two or three, you're going to be better off come September or even come OTAs or something.
Right.
That is categorically just provably false, in my opinion. There is no carryover. And in fact, I think the opposite is probably true, which is the resources that you're allotted, if you're a worse football team and you lose those games, are more beneficial to helping you be good faster. But it is paramount, if he plays, that this offense gets on track and gets going and that you see some of that growth. But here's what I wanted to ask people, and we can open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067. You can also hit us up online. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Grant H. Paulson. Danny's at Funny Danny. Is it important for you to see Jaden Daniels get back to the 2024 version of himself before the end of the year or not? Is it important for you as a fan, and whatever evaluation of the player, of the offense you're doing yourself, just to see him better than he was playing before he got hurt? Because it was not bad. And people that are acting like he had stunk or something, that's just not correct. Even when Kurt Warner was saying, hey, he's got to do this better, he's got to process this better, I thought the Seattle game where he got hurt as a passer was, frankly, one of his worst games, just because he held the ball and he didn't really take the layups. But I didn't think that was week to week reoccurring all the time issues. I thought it was a game where that happened against a great defensive front and a phenomenal defense. And yes, if you just watch that tape and it's the only game you've ever seen of Jaden Daniels, you come away and you go, he doesn't make enough easy throws. He doesn't take the things that are there. He's holding on to the ball too long. He's trying to make the big play. This is not great. But that's not who he's been in most of the other games this season and throughout his entire career. So for me, I want to see him back on the field and to see that some of the stuff, I keep going back to what Warner pointed out because I thought he did a very eloquent, good job at showing in that particular game some of the struggles, that these are not developing issues, but rather that it was just a performance. Or this year, it's been a couple of performances. So I do think it's important for me to see him get back out there and play at a high level. I'll feel way better going into next year if he does. But I wonder how many people feel that way.
See, I think it's a fair question. I'm not as concerned about this return to 2024 levels for him as I think some people might be. For me, like, I'm sort of counting this season as the boat is sinking and there's that suction force yanking everything down. Everything's bad, and it's worse than we all thought it could possibly be. So if he doesn't play at the same level and the magic doesn't happen again, I don't know how much I'm holding that against anybody, if that makes any sense. This is all kind of with a grain of salt. The thing that I care about most is however many games I get, 5, 4, 3, whatever, can he please not take those my stomach is in knots shots where he's folded up like a rag doll, spun around, helmet come flying off, and most of the time he gets up and laughs at the guy, and it's amazing. But then there are times he doesn't. 3 times this year, last year broken rib, etc. I need safety and health. If I get good play, I'll be very happy. But that's not the standard for me. Like, if he plays the way that he played most of this year, with some downs, the Green Bay game, the Seattle game you're talking about, I'm not going to be alarmed or panicked. I'll go, yeah, but nobody did well this year. Nobody's doing anything.
I just hate that, like, nothing matters. The team's bad kind of philosophy. If he plays and you've got McLaurin and your full O-line and Deebo Samuel and the collection of running backs, you're all out there. Why the hell shouldn't you play well?
Great question. They haven't. I mean, Terry McLaurin out there.
He hasn't had that once.
Well, if Terry McLaurin is out there, is it Terry McLaurin or is it the compromised no training camp, no practice, no nothing, come back from six different injuries?
He looked like Terry McLaurin against the Chiefs. So
that game he did.
That was the last game he's played in.
Yes.
Back from his injury. If he comes back and he's that Terry McLaurin, and you've got Deebo who just went 7 for 75 and a touchdown and caught a 20-yard screen and ran some dudes over, and you've got Chris Rodriguez who averages 4.9 a carry in his career, and Bill. And you've got all three of your tight ends, a second-round pick last year, and a guy you've signed 2 times in 2 years. And you've got your 5 offensive linemen. This, like, whoopsie-daisy, it's a tough year. I don't care if, you know, no one's playing well because we're not good this year. That is the offense. That's what the offense would look like 15 times in a normal injury season.
Yeah.
Don't play good football.
It needs to be adjusted. And you need tweaks and you need changes. That's what I want. I don't want any fool's gold with a late-season meaningless, empty, hey, we played well against another team that's out of it. And now we get to pat ourselves on the back. Like, see, the real problem was the injuries.
But I think everything's about patting ourselves on the back.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about them.
Right.
To me, everything's broken. And when for whatever reason, everything you just said on paper is correct. But I watched a team that shouldn't have lost to Dallas by 25, lose to 25 to Dallas.
I just think we're not having the same conversation.
But the one I'm having is, I'm not going to hold him to the same standard of, give me 2024, I'll be pissed.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lose confidence. I have a great sample. I have a less than great sample. If everybody else around him was thriving and surviving and he was the weak link and he's why they're 3-8 and the injuries and all these other kind of things, and I'm going, God, this is what a setback this is for Daniels. He's a bum now. I'd have a different story, but nothing has gone right. And to expect it just to flip when nobody seems to have any answers on this coaching staff and the front office and nobody made any trades and no one did anything other than tell Joe Witt you're not welcome to talk in the headset anymore. I'm like, I'm not going to hold them to the same standard or hold him to the same standard of the magic that happened last year.
Yeah, so the last part, you keep referencing last year. I guess I don't care about last year. I need it to be better than the Seattle game. Like, I need you to play at a level that surpasses the bad of this season when it's been bad. But overall, I think we actually did an exercise. I graded him a B on the season. You graded him a C. I have not been discouraged nearly to the extent that everybody else is. Like, I keep saying, people are talking about Adam Peters' job security. That's stupid.
That's ludicrous.
They were in the NFC Championship game last year. People are talking about Dan Quinn's hot seat. What are you talking about? They just played in the penultimate game of the season on the precipice of a Super Bowl. Nobody should be talking about anybody losing jobs. With Jaden, he's a second contract guy and a franchise quarterback. To me, that is over. Like, yep. Put that in pen and Sharpie. My conversation is more, if he came back and in the final three games of the season, it was what it was, like, it was the Seattle game. Going into the offseason, you're not more nervous about how he'll look in year three than if he were to come back and play at a high level? That's all I'm saying. If he comes back and puts some of this to bed, because with Terry and with everybody healthier, they finish this thing strong, it just seems intuitive to me that you would go into next year feeling a lot better. Whereas if he comes back and Kurt Warner's breaking down the tape of going, what is he doing here? Why doesn't he see this? You're not going into next year going, all right, this is now a lot more interesting because we've got a larger sample of whatever that was.
But I think that ignores a million factors. Like, how much of it is defenses seem to have a lot of things figured out from this offense? People seem real comfortable stopping this group, whereas last year, Kingsbury was always a step ahead, it seemed like, or most of the time he was. Maybe there's some demystification of it. I think that's a part of it.
But that would be a part of the problem next year, too.
Totally. And so if Daniels doesn't play lights-out football, it's not in a vacuum. And that's kind of my point. Like, they need a major overhaul everywhere to everything. And so I'm not doing that with Daniels, but I guess my point is, if I've already acknowledged that this is broken and bad and they need to change everything, a good sample I'm not going to overreact to, nor will I overreact to a bad sample down the stretch
when
of these meaningless football games.
When you say change everything, the guys that are playing now minus one or two pieces are the guys that will be out there next year.
Yeah, I need 30 new football players at a minimum.
But
I need new starters everywhere.
Offense. The offense is the offense.
Shouldn't be.
Hopefully you get a new tight end weapon, and if they don't bring Debo back, they'll have another receiver. But for the most part, you're kind of looking at it. Now, ideally, they could add some talent in a few positions, sure, but they got the group that they had in training camp.
They got, and now we know that probably wasn't the best group to put together. I mean, we got a big sample that says it. What are my adjustments? Am I going to be under center at all? Do I have a different run design because they haven't been able to run the ball in 80% of their games? Do I have a deep threat? Do I just have another Lamine Zacchaeus type signing where I throw a dart at the board and hope some leftover jag is going to be the answer where Daniels makes the guy excellent?
Yeah.
Like I just can't judge this to me is grain of salt sample time, good or bad. If it's bad, I'm not going to panic. If it's good, I'm not going to overreact. Like I guess that's where I kind of keep coming back to.
Yeah, I don't get it, but it's. What else can I say?
This is a good one to open up the show. By the way, a show that will have Barry's Verluga at 11:30 and Ryan Fowler from CBS Sports to talk some NFL with us at 12. We've got NFL buy and sell, and we've got other things as well. Big recruit locally about to make a big decision tonight at about 7 p.m. The kid from Blake in Silver Spring, Baba, is going to make his decision between Maryland, Arkansas, Georgetown, and Kentucky. He's a top five player in the class. He was the number one player in the 2027 basketball recruiting class. He reclassed and will make his decision tonight. Fingers crossed. Go Terps. This from John Z to open up the show. I just read this a little while ago. John, thank you for this. Kevin, I'm an Eagles fan, but I live here and listen all the time. The way you guys are reacting to this season is so Philadelphia. Just over-the-top reactionary to a situation that is beyond anyone's control. You had a caller the other day that I think with a straight face said that Mariota is as good as Jaden Daniels, LOL. You had a caller last week that thought Dan Quinn was a horrible choice to be the head coach and that he needs to go. Then there was another day where a caller said Adam Peters was the problem, and even after you listed about 10 new players beyond Daniels that he brought in last year to help the team nearly go to the Super Bowl, he just ignored you and said, the drafts suck. I know that we've gotten some of these, but I think some of these have been, Yeah, we've gotten all of this. We've gotten the Peters, we've gotten the Quinn, we've gotten the Jaden Daniels, Marcus Mariota for sure. Anyway, John Z continues. On the drafts, for you and your audience, Howie Roseman is one of the best to ever do it, but his 2019 and 2020 drafts overall were terrible, and they went to the Super Bowl in 2022. Drafts don't help you right away. They help you down the road. Remember Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson? One of the all-time first round within one pick misses. I know what he's saying. It was back-to-back picks, 22, 23, 21, 22, or whatever it was, where the Eagles took Reagor, and then the next pick, the Vikings took Justin Jefferson. Redskins fans, and then he writes parenthetically, no apologies, I still say the old name. No apologies necessary, John Z. Redskins fans need to calm down. Daniels is the real deal, and that's where it all starts. He's barely played, and you guys want everybody fired. It's extremely entertaining, but so WIP in Philly. WIP is the longtime heritage sports talk show, sports talk radio station in Philly. And by the way, for those of you that have ever been in Philly and turned on WIP, it's the best, especially seasons like this. He's 100% right. I mean, the reaction is fire everybody. Doesn't matter what they did last year. Doesn't matter what they did earlier in the season. Doesn't matter about anything. Fire everybody. It is the most reactionary sports talk radio in the country. Philly fans, you know, their reputation, of course, precedes them. So, here's what I want to do with this. Because I was on Ben's podcast last night, Ben Standing's podcast. Grant and I were on. Grant Paulson and I were on with Ben. And we were talking about, and I'm not even sure if we were talking about this when he was recording. We may have been talking about this prior to or after. And we were just talking about, like, the crazy reactions we've gotten this year. And what's the one that's the craziest? And I said, look, it's, you know, it's a choice between Peters should be fired, Quinn should be fired, or Jaden Daniels just isn't, you know, what we thought he was. You know, those are the three. I don't think I'm missing one. That's pretty much the three. I mean, there's been some Terry talk, but those are the three biggies. And I'm like, you know, look, to me, out of those three, they're all insane takes. And yeah, of course, it's reactionary. It's recency bias. It's living in the moment. It's believing you're watching something that sometimes you really aren't watching. And I'll just say this, because I think I told the guys this last night, and I think I've said this before. I think this season is absolutely impossible to evaluate. Sure, you can evaluate the kicker, and they did, and they moved on from him. I mean, you know, maybe another move like the, you know, Joe Witt Jr. move, just trying to make something happen in the midst of all of this misery. You can evaluate, you know, certainly the kicking game, you know, because there are so few plays and the players that are out there are basically the players you thought were going to be out there for the most part. But it's almost impossible to evaluate the offense, the defense, the overall team. It just is. I mean, we can speculate on what would have happened had they stayed healthy. We can speculate on what would have happened had they just had a normal number of injuries. You know, all of that is a matter of opinion because one thing would have led to another, and we can't predict sort of the chain of events that would have unfolded had they stayed healthy. I mean, I would say to you right now, through 11 games, they'd be no worse than 5-6. They might be 6-5, but this is my speculation. I think we would be in the mode of excited about a potential stretch run, and hey, let's just get into the thing because we saw what happened last year, and the tone would be completely different. But I do think that I'd be sitting here skeptical about what kind of contender they really were, you know. And part of that would be just to look at the landscape of the NFC and notice that Philadelphia is really good, and that Detroit, Green Bay, the Rams, Seattle, they're just better overall overall teams. Like if we were 5-6, still very much in it with, you know, the schedule after Denver easing up a little bit until the final three, and then we'd be talking about maybe the Eagles have it clinched, they don't play for anything in week, you know, 18, the 17th game of the season. All of that would be a big part of the conversation. But I think that's where they would be. But I want to be clear, I don't think, pure speculation, very hard to evaluate, I don't think I'd be sitting here thinking that they were as much of a contender as they were last year, you know, at 7-2. And then when they got it rolling in December, I really thought, hey, man, they could be the two seed. If they're the two seed, they're basically two home games away from playing in the NFC Championship game. Now, they didn't get to the two seed. They ended up being the six seed, and they still got to the NFC Championship game. But overall, trying to evaluate this season is pure speculation in terms of what you think would have happened versus what did happen. And the evaluation of players and coaches is nearly impossible on an individual basis, except for players like kickers and punters and kick coverage and punt coverage, because of the few number of plays and the few, you know, the lesser impact of this injury-riddled season on that particular area of the team. But what I wanted to ask you guys is, what do you think is kind of the absolute craziest, over-the-top reaction to the situation? You've heard and listened to this show and other shows. You've had conversations with your friends about this season. What's the most insane, completely whack job reaction to this season? My number one is anybody that would suggest that they made a mistake, or that Jaden isn't who we thought he was, or that, you know, others, New England in particular, got the star of the draft. That by the way, is a reasonable debate watching Drake May this year. I'm certainly not going to discount those of you that really like Drake May before the 2024 draft and are basking in that, you know, afterglow in his second year, because he didn't do it in his first year. And normally they don't. What happened last year was not normal with our quarterback. That's very unusual, as we know. Greatest rookie season in the history of the league for a rookie quarterback, and the furthest a team has ever gone on the back of a rookie quarterback. But I think that, to me, the most insane take is that Jaden Daniels isn't who we thought he was. If you want to say Jaden Daniels is more of a concern because of the injuries this year, and that's a concern moving forward, that's not unreasonable. If you want to say, I do think that maybe the Patriots are going to end up with the best of that group, that's not unreasonable. It's not. I mean, it's very possible that they'll both be great. They'll both be great. I'm talking about kind of the extreme of, yeah, year two, major slump, not the guy we thought he was. Why do I think that's the most insane take? Because he has barely played. He's played 5.5 of the 11 games, so he's played exactly half of the games. It'll be less than half after the next game, we're pretty sure. Denver seems like a stretch for him to be back for that game. It's not impossible for him to be back the following week against Minnesota. You know, week one, he was fine in that game. Yeah, there were a couple of misses here and there, but he was fine in the game. And week one's always a head fake. If you don't believe that, do you know who lost in week one? The Patriots to the Raiders at home. Week one just is a head fake. When he came back after the injury against the Packers, he was lights out against the Chargers after, you know, shaking off a little bit of rust after being out for a few weeks. Lights out. That was Jaden Daniels from last year against a pretty good defensive team on the road, and they blew out the Chargers 27-10. And then, you know, there were some rough moments when he didn't have his guys out there. He just didn't have his team on the field. So that's one of the reasons. I mean, this is more I want, it's not that I want to see it, because I believe we will see it. And even if we don't, it wouldn't deter me about what I think about next year. But one of the reasons I really want to see him back on the field, as long as it's with Terry, maybe with Noah Brown, with health at tight end, you know, with the offensive line continuing to play at a decent level, decent to better than decent level, and be healthy. You know, there it's not everybody they had last year, but I think overall it's basically a better group because of the offensive line. And I want to see that, and I want it to sort of, you know, seep into those that actually have questions about Jaden Daniels that, okay, you know, healthy, has some guys back, isn't throwing to Tay Martin or Robbie Chosen or Treylon Burks, even though Burks was kind of impressive in that game last week or 2 weeks ago. You know, Chris Moore, et cetera. And look, the offense is starting to look like it did last year. Now, it's possible he comes back and he's rusty in the first game and the defense is so bad that the game gets out of whack. You know, there's lots of, you know, possibilities, but I'd like to see what that looks like. But of kind of the, you know, the overreactionary, you know, recency bias, all of that stuff, the crazy reactions to this season that has gone badly. What's the most insane to you guys? 301-230-0980. Some of you believe all three of what John Z referenced. You know, you think everybody should go. And that's fine. But of the sort of more calm, reasonable people out there, which of, you know, the things you've heard about this team this year do you consider to be the most completely out of the world insane? To me, it's the Jaden talk. And I have to say, of the three biggies, I think that's the least amount. You know, I think if you said biggest concern areas pie chart, I think Peters would be one, Quinn would be two, Jaden would be three among those that have at least one concern and are ready to kind of declare that they got it wrong on Peters, that they got it wrong on Quinn, or they got it wrong on Daniels. I think of the people that feel like at least one of those areas they've gotten it wrong, the most would be Peters, followed by Quinn, followed by Jaden. To me, though, the question is, which is the most just out of whack response to this season that you've heard? And maybe you've got one that isn't in one of those three areas. To me, it's anybody at this point, after watching what we watched last year, that would question that Jaden Daniels isn't as good as we saw last year. Like they got it wrong. The injury thing, justifiable. I want to emphasize the concern about injuries moving forward. That is not unreasonable. The belief that Drake May is going to be as good as or better and is going to be the true star of that class, that's not unreasonable to me. It isn't. I think there's a really good chance both end up being superstar quarterbacks. We know that only one of the two has actually played a superstar season in its entirety, although Drake May's heading for that. I mean, he is one of the front runners for the MVP. And last year, Jaden Daniels had an MVP-esque kind of a season. It was just a bit more crowded at the top with Lamar and Josh Allen, etc., and Saquon Barkley. Right, there were just three otherworldly performances last year, whereas this year, you know, the otherworldly performances are less. I mean, unless you want to say Jonathan Taylor at this point, but Drake May's good. So there we go. 301-230-0980. Max, I want to hear your response when we come back. What's the most insane take on this season you've heard so far? It could be on this show, it could be on another show, it could be within your friend group, it could be whatever, wherever you got it from. For me, it's anybody that has written me, called my friend last week. I read the text. He wanted to trade Jaden. We talked about that. That's the most insane for me. My eyes did not deceive me. I know what I watched last year. I watched an elite-level quarterbacked season. The only one we've had here since 1991. An elite-level quarterback season. I wouldn't even say RG3's 2012 was an elite-level quarterback season. It was an exciting season. It was productive, and he was awesome. But it wasn't as overall elite as Jaden's was last year. No, I'm not going to call any of Kirk's seasons here elite. His 2016 was absurd, and it was record-breaking in a lot of different ways franchise-wise, but I wouldn't call anything, as much as I love him, I wouldn't call anything that he's ever done in his career elite level. High level, yes. Elite level, no. 301-230-0980. Phone lines open. The most insane take you've heard. The biggest overreaction out of, you know, whack take you've heard anywhere during this 3-8 season. Phone lines are open. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Wanted to talk some Adam Peters. Article on CBSSports.com where they had their NFL experts grade the general managers in the league. They graded them on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 meaning safe and secure.
Okay.
2 meaning all good for now, 3 meaning pressure is mounting, 4 meaning start improving now, and 5 meaning as good as fired.
Okay.
All right.
If you have a 5, you better just be, you better have your LinkedIn profile updated, ready to rock.
You're looking at Zillow so hard.
Oh, yeah. You're definitely you got a bunch of realtors lined up. Yeah. You're switching the kids' schools. You're doing the whole thing.
So there are 4
moves.
So when that was all said and done and they did their grading, they then separated them into 4 tiers. And we put up our Junkies poll of the day based on this article. And would love for you to chime in at 1-800-636-1067. The tiers are perfectly safe, not much to worry about, radar is up, and maybe have a bag packed. Where does Adam Peters fall? Last year, 100% he would be in the top tier, which is perfectly safe.
He would have been firmly planted in that territory last year.
The next tier is not much to worry about. The third tier is radar is up. And the fourth tier, maybe have a bag packed. There's no way you can say maybe have a bag packed.
No.
Unless you're just a hater.
I don't think there's one. I don't think even the most irrational Commanders fan would put him in tier 4.
If you need to see it visually, you can vote on our Junkies poll of the day sponsored by Surfside. Use the code JUNKS, J-U-N-K-S, at store.statesidevodka.com to get 50% off select merch. That means tees, hats, hoodies, and more. Use that code JUNKS at store.statesidevodka.com. So I think, and I've already seen the early voting, most people are going not much to worry about. But I think some people might go radar is up.
Now he is in. In the CBSSports.com article, he is in the tier 2, not much to worry about. But he's toward the bottom of that tier with a score of 1.71. I feel like he should be in tier 3, radar is up.
All right, so let's...
I feel like he should be bumped down to tier 3 from tier 2.
All right, let's look at his biggest decisions.
So early.
Let's look at his biggest decisions. Number one, job...
Maybe it's recency effect.
He's had a year and a half.
His biggest decision was drafting the quarterback.
Right.
That's a hit.
Yeah.
All right, Jade, that's biggest number one job of pretty much any GM. If you don't have a franchise quarterback, is find your franchise quarterback. I think we'd all agree he found the franchise quarterback.
Yes. Nobody's stay healthy.
Nobody's disputing that.
100%.
Yes.
Again, you're picking at number two. You should be able, like, if you do your due diligence, you should be able to find the right quarterback.
Okay, but we see.
I know there have been misses all over the place. At
top quarterbacks, it's like a 50% hit on first round. All right, so let's look at the number one pick this year. They took Connerly.
That one is a question mark.
But the last three games, if you look at some of those grades, he's played much better. And he's a rookie tackle.
Still a question mark, though. He's given up a ton of sacks. like relative to his position.
If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. So those are the first.
He was also picked, I believe, two or three picks prior to Josh Simmons, who looks like a fixture on the offensive line already as a rookie in Kansas City. So if
the Amos pick was a good pick, I think.
I think that was a very solid pick.
If we want to start getting into the second round picks, history of second round picks, Johnny Newton.
Mixed
we just talked about
mixed
it.
Bag. Mixed
ben
bag.
Ben Sinnott.
Just too early. Just hasn't had the impact that you would expect.
I mean, you can't right now, unless he's the greatest blocking tight end in the league, you can't say that Sinnott is a hit at this point.
I think that Sinnott just is still incomplete. I'm not willing to commit either way.
Well, the truth is all of them are incomplete.
I think when you've played a lot and you haven't, like Johnny Newton, I'm starting to get a fairly complete picture.
Sinnott is incomplete. But the early returns, I think you could agree, well, not positive.
I don't think they're necessarily negative. They're a little underwhelming.
Otherwise, he'd be on the field already.
My question: Zach Ertz just beat him out.
Well, that's damning because Zach Ertz doesn't look great at this point. He was really good last year.
Yeah.
Now that also was a year where Jaden Daniels was on the field for most every game.
My question is for the people like Eric who are like, well, it's only been a year and a half. Well, when are you allowed to start? Filling out the report card.
You're allowed to grade him right now.
Well,
I just think though that it's not. I don't think you're allowed to fire him yet.
No, I'm not talking about firing him.
If he whiffed on everything, I think it's too early to fire a guy.
I'm not
a year
saying
and a half
firing,
but you're definitely allowed to grade him. Go for it.
My radar is up. He would be bumped down to that radar.
Well, Eric's saying it's just too early to tell. I'm not saying. Well, when can we tell? When is the jury out?
I think you know it when you see it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer.
I think after three full seasons, you have a very good beat on a player. Every once in a while, a guy will blossom in year four, year five, year six. But I think after three full seasons, you kind of know what you have.
And then for GMs, like when does – so let's say Adam Peters – crushed next year's draft, right? How long does that equity last for? Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, probably a couple seasons.
It does buy you some time. I know you don't want it to buy you time, but I think it does buy you some time.
Let me also say, though,
I think it's pretty clear. His biggest miss was Lattimore.
Well, hold up. Let's go through it kind of systematically.
It's pretty obvious.
We're going through the first round picks. So second round picks last year, Johnny Newton, Sandristill, and Ben Sinnott.
Sandristill is a bit, eyebrows raised on him, big time.
Out of the gates hot as a rookie, regressed in year two.
Although he rated very highly last week, even though he had two huge.
I would give him a zero for last week just because of the punt return.
The punt return fiasco were bad.
That eliminates any good that he did in the entire game.
He had rated very highly in his coverage.
I don't care about the rest of his game. He let the game slip through his fingers by muffing that punt.
Well, just don't let him anywhere near a punt. I would never let him near a punt.
Never again. Never, ever again.
Yeah.
Just can't do it.
All right.
But people were raving. See, that's the thing. Is that people flip because, like, last year people were raving about him. Raving about him.
Okay.
Last year people were raving about the Ertz signing.
Players can regress.
Last year people were raving about the...
They can get worse.
For sure.
Instead of getting better.
But I'm just saying that you can't always predict, okay, he's going to have a great first year and then a terrible... Like, those are very hard to predict.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, he gets credit for that. Like, when he brought in Chin, when he brought in Bobby Wagner, when he brought in Ertz, when he signed or drafted Jaden. I mean, all those things hit. This year, everything's just, like, going backwards.
Yes and no. I mean, they're a hit. So, I kind of want to focus on the draft. So, second-round picks, we've gone through. This year, the second-round pick was Trey Amos.
I think most people think that's a hit.
I think he was solid until he got injured.
And like, what I'd say about Sandristill is he's a starter. Like, to me, if you're a starter, that's a hit. Maybe he's not playing as good as he did last year, but he's a starter. To me, if you draft a guy who's a starter, that's a hit.
Yeah, but if you keep regressing, you might not be a starter that much longer.
All right, so this year's draft was a lot less. But last year, you drafted Brandon Coleman in the third round. You drafted Luke McCaffrey. These are contributors. Like, people can say, well, they're not as good as they want. Coleman started last year, is filled in this year.
Right.
Now, he kind of slid back in the depth chart this year, but it's a contributor.
They didn't expect Coleman to get beat up by Chris Paul, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
He's become a depth piece, and you spent a third round pick on a depth offensive lineman.
So then this year, kind of in the fourth round, they draft Jalen Lane because they didn't have a third round pick.
I like Jalen Lane, and I think relative to where he was drafted, you're probably getting about what you would think.
And then I'm just going to kind of lump in all of the later round draft choices. So fifth and beyond. This year was Kane Medrano and Bill, Corey Kroski Merritt. Bill's a contributor. Medrano doesn't do much except for special teams. Last year, you had McGee, who we're starting to see more at linebacker. You had Hampton. He's not part of the team. And then you had Batiste, who's hurt.
Batiste was very highly rated, though.
I think just if we're just looking at the draft, I think he's a solid B. Like, people can say,
Of it's carried, though, by Jaden Daniels.
Okay, but
it's very top-heavy, I think.
Most of the guys are on the roster.
Okay, but they are on the roster because those guys always get the benefit of the doubt because they're picked by this regime.
Yeah. They're contributors.
I'd say it's a I'd say it's like a B, trending B minus.
Okay, that might be fair.
It's not super high B.
I think you got potentially a tackle of the future in Connerly. You have your franchise quarterback. You've got a couple guys in the secondary who are starters. And then, you know, the rest of them are kind of contributors and who knows? You know, Bill and Jalen Lane might be contributors for a long time. They've flashed at times. All right, so now let's get into the trades. The big trades. Obviously, Marshon Lattimore, a big whiff. Tunsil's been a big hit.
Well, hold on, yeah. I would say this on the Lattimore thing. I don't mind the swing. I don't mind the idea. Right. It was good on paper. It was a miss. And you're not going to hit on all of them. He missed.
And then I think that the Debo thing is a hit.
I think a relative hit. It was more of like a single or a double more than a home run. We're hoping for a little bit more. He's been good. He hasn't been great.
It's been commensurate with the pick that they gave up. They gave up a fifth rounder. So you didn't like really risk a lot to get Debo. And I'd say it's about the level of the pick that you sent to the Niners in exchange.
I think he's been better than a typical fifth rounder.
Yeah.
You know what? So the four tiers, again, if you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. Perfectly safe, not much to worry about. Radar is up. Maybe have a bad pack.
He's their leading receiver.
He's
got five touchdowns.
To me, Adam Peters is perfectly safe. He's in year two.
Oh, I don't think
we all expected it to be. We all expected it to be 3 years.
That's perfectly safe. He's not getting fired.
Yeah.
I mean, 0% chance he gets fired.
Cakes has his radar up.
Yeah, my radar. Yeah,
what's the
you
beef?
Guys have him as perfectly safe? Like he just it's all a bed of roses for
no.
Adam
he's
Peters?
Not been perfect, but you know, he's not getting fired. He hasn't done anything.
I don't think
of
he's getting fired either.
You want to go back to the Bruce Allen, Vinny Serrato years?
Again, I talked about this the other day. I love the fact that they finally brought a real legitimate GM who seems to know what he's doing to run the football side of the operations.
Where are your biggest beefs?
Well, the Lattimore trade.
Okay, Lattimore, beyond Lattimore.
Miss.
I guess kicker. You're going to probably complain about kicker. They've mowed through kickers.
Kicker, they just can't get right.
Right.
I mean, they've had, eight kickers already?
That's it. That's fair. It's fair.
And then maybe some whiffs on some drafts.
Some of the second round picks are just whiffs so far. Sinnott, I'm sorry. That guy's a whiff. And Johnny Newton, not very impactful. Second round pick.
Johnny Newton's a depth guy.
Did they trade up to get Newton? Didn't they move? I think they moved up to get Newton.
I think Newton slid too, though. It might be a combo, but
he was sliding out, and they loved him. So I'll double check
remember,
that.
But
I think they moved
injury,
up to get him. Yeah, I can't put him in perfectly safe.
People also loved the Eckler signing. They, you can't take those things away. But he brought in Eckler. He brought in Debo. They liked Jeremy Chinn when he brought him in last year. They liked signing Mariota. It was like the perfect backup for he's done a lot of good things.
Sure. That's why I say perfectly safe. You know, if next year is a disaster and they have an old roster and it gets hurt and all these sort of things, then I would train my guns on him. But I feel like this year has just been a lot of bad breaks.
It's been a lot of injuries.
I mean, the biggest one is when your quarterback is on the field, when your starting quarterback's on the field for a half of the games, you're generally not going to win. If you took Matthew Stafford off of the Rams, they're not 8-2 if he misses half the games.
I would have him as the first guy in the radar is up list. He would be above Nick Casario from the Houston Texans. I can't believe you guys are just giving him a complete pass.
It's not that I'm giving him a complete pass. He's and by had the way,
the Houston Texans went to back-to-back playoffs and had a win
right
in each of the playoff years, and he's on the radar's up list.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know anything about those guys.
But he's also been around a long time, right?
I think he's probably been in Houston for, I think, 3, 4, maybe even 5 years at this point.
I mean, this was supposed to be a rebuild.
I understand.
By year two of a rebuild, people don't have these great expectations. Last year changed the equation. Jaden Daniels changed the equation.
Well,
but you have to give him credit for last year. Now, this year's gone bad, but let's look at the pieces. And I think if you systematically look at the pieces, I think he's done a pretty good job. I'd give him a grade of B on the draft.
JP, you're the first person to say the season's circumstances change. And the circumstances change.
What's your grade for him on draft?
On draft?
Yes.
C.
Okay. And what's your grade on him on trades? Those are the two.
C minus.
Okay.
C?
So which tier do you put him in?
I think the microscope should be on Adam Peters.
Radar's up.
Yes.
Your okay. Radar's up, guys.
Radar antenna. The antenna is swirling right now.
Yeah, I'm not saying he needs to call Metropolitan Moving and Storage, start getting all his stuff in a truck, but people are starting to look at him with a more critical eye.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think people should be critical of these moves, and not every move that he makes is golden. I think within the first year it was.
I'm with EB. I think he's perfectly safe. It's year two of a rebuild. And
I think they have about 80%+.
Yeah.
If not more. I mean, I don't know. What do you want to expect? You expect him to never miss?
Well, GMs don't get fired after 2 years. I realize that, but I think people should be skeptical of moves that he's making and the roster that he's built.
Well, what's your biggest beef?
My biggest beef? Well, there's a lot of beefs that I have.
What's your biggest?
Well, going all in to try and stop the Eagles and then neglecting everything else on the defense. How can you say roster players next year after everyone's going to have to be a free agent?
How can you say they neglected the defense when they drafted Trey Amos and they signed Javon Kinlaw? You could say that those were bad moves, but
no.
They tried to address the secondary with Amos, high draft pick, and that seems to be a hit. And they tried to beef up the defensive line by signing Kinlaw.
Well, maybe there's other free agents you could go after besides that. Everyone said the team just needs to get over the hump in Philly to reach the Super Bowl. And I think you've neglected other parts of the defense because you've gone all in on the defensive line.
How did the Ravens do without Lamar Jackson under center?
Well, they won against Tyler Huntley.
They won one game, but how did they do overall with Lamar Jackson not playing?
1-3. So is that just the excuse for everything?
It is the biggest factor. It's the biggest factor in the NFL. If your starting quarterback is a franchise quarterback is not available, you generally don't win games. The Ravens are an example of that. So I do give him a little bit of a pass this year.
Well, you know,
my radar would be up next year if next year tanks. But
well,
I think perfectly safe.
Well, you know, the Ravens started 1-4 with Lamar Jackson starting the season. So
I know that. But when you don't have your starting quarterback,
okay, there's 21 other players you got to go put out there, JP.
Also, I think he's done a pretty good job. I grade him higher than you. You think he's doing a crappy job.
This will play out over time as well. But if Drake May keeps ascending and Jaden has a hard time staying
that's
on the
also
field
another thing.
And doesn't I think keep climbing.
They could both be very, very good, which I think is going to be the case.
I think that is going to be I'm a Jaden guy. Yeah. But if Drake May becomes like the best quarterback in the league and Jaden is like the, I don't know, 9th or 10th best quarterback in the league in a couple years, that's going to be another tick mark against one Adam Peters.
Of course, the Jaden pick was going to define his job more than anything else.
Totally.
It's his first major decision as a general manager, and it is a career-defining decision,
really.
It
absolutely is.
1-800-636-1067. We got to go to break. We'll take your calls next. Where do you grade Adam Peters a year and a half in as general manager?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.